Jim Estrada joins us again. And Jim, I think, you know, I mentioned it before we went to break, but one thing you really do different is, I mean, you actually guarantee inspections, which is pretty different than a lot of people. And when a lot of people are out looking for servicers or people to, you know, professionals to work with, a guarantee isn't always something that they can find, but it is certainly something if they're willing to make a switch or find a different person to work with. Something that, you know, is pretty profound, I think, that you offer. Talk a little bit about your satisfaction guarantee coming from an inspector. I mean, you're not insuring the house.
No, you're definitely not insuring the house. I'm insuring the level of quality and the performance that I do. If people aren't happy with what I do, you know, I can't see 100% of the house. I can see, well, the average person when they walk into a house sees maybe 10%. I see about 50%. And very, very thorough with the things that I can see. But unless I'm building the house and seeing it from ground up, I'm not going to be able to see absolutely everything. But when they see the efforts that I put in and the areas that I go into, from the roof to the attic to the crawl space, and with the amount of pictures that I take and the thoroughness that we go through the report and answer all their questions, I've never had anybody that wasn't satisfied.
So, that right there is an interesting number. So when somebody walks into their home, and maybe a reason to even get an inspection, whether you're buying a house or not, maybe just on your home because you live there, but you're only seeing 10%. I mean, you're seeing the pretty stuff.
Exactly. Yeah, no question about it. And to not have people or yourself get up into an attic or a crawl space, which isn't really advisable unless you know what you're doing. I mean, more injuries happen just from people getting on and off ladders, even step ladders, in the emergency room. But yeah, getting up on roofs and getting into attics and crawl spaces to see what's going on, because a house is a living, breathing organism. And in case you haven't noticed anything about your body personally, your body changes as you age, and so does the house.
So what is that 40%? I mean, I guess, as you said, it's the roof, it's the crawl space. What are some of those things you're really looking at?
Well, it's the training, one, and just the specifics of knowing where to look and what to look for. You know, most people don't get down with flashlights and look underneath their cupboards to see what kind of leaks are going on. Most people don't take the time to test all of their electrical outlets, and especially if it's a house that somebody's lived in before, oftentimes things have been added and added incorrectly. Looking into electrical panels. I mean, I don't advise the average person to be looking into there. They don't have any idea what they're looking at, and could
they open it? There's no fire, so everything must be okay, right? There's no sparks flying.
Well, and, you know, do we even know how to open up an electrical panel? I mean, if we're going to open up an electrical panel, you want to hit it with the back of your right hand first, because it's the farthest away from your heart, and it'll make your hand recoil just in case that electrical panel is actually energized, which that happens once in a while, too. You hear about people walking in major metropolitan areas and dogs getting electrocuted because of light poles or because of electric... metal panels.
Yeah, that was an interesting story.
Yeah,
well, that was in Seattle, not just cities. I mean, that was here.
Oh, yeah, and people have been electrocuted walking across the street in Vegas, you know, because they're walking bare feet and hit,
the blood alcohol level is so high, conducting electricity.
Yeah, exactly.
So when you have something like, you know, you have these issues, certainly, you know, you wouldn't expect people to maybe even know what some of these issues are. But if somebody's interested in how their house is performing, kind of like going to the doctor, an inspection is something that doesn't only have to get done when you're buying or selling a house. This is something you can get done almost on a maintenance level, isn't it?
Well, it is a good idea to do a maintenance level. And I think kind of really every 5 to 7 years, I mean, the ideal, of course, would be, you know, I go around my house pretty much once a year, just kind of checking things out before winter starts up and, you know, really to make sure things are in good shape. But the average person, you know, if they were going to hire somebody every 5 to 7 years, I mean, you take your car in every 3 months to get the oil changed, and, you know, once a year or every other year anyway to get a tune-up and those kinds of things. House is worth a lot more than the car.
And, I mean, a lot of moving parts in a house, too. People don't think about every time you turn the faucet on or the electricity flow. I mean, there's a flush of the toilet.
Well, and just the forces of nature. I mean, from the winds, winds can really have a major impact on a house.
It's been windy.
In terms of flexing. And yes, we have definitely had some wind, no question about it.
So if somebody were to go ahead and actually, you know, let's say they find something. An inspector doesn't maybe fix these things. You don't go in and say, here's all the stuff that's wrong. I'm going to fix it now.
Well, it used to be that a lot of guys used to do those kinds of things, used to be general contractors too. But home inspectors now, in terms of the new state licensing, we are not even allowed to work on a house that we inspected for at least a period of a year, which just eliminates anybody trying to
sell something. It's like the bad auto mechanic, right?
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
So then how does somebody go about transitioning? I mean, you know something's wrong, and now you need to find somebody to fix the plumbing, fix the electrical, fix the roof, whatever the way, you know, the damage has occurred. What are those next steps? I mean, how does somebody kind of transition? What is your, from your side of things?
Well, it depends on the level of things that need to be done. If you can get a handyman, oftentimes to take care of a lot of basic things, sometimes you need to get into a general contractor, and that's kind of what we were going to talk about a little bit today in terms of how to hire a general contractor if you're going to be doing a big job. A lot of times we're coming into springtime. It's a great time. Everybody starts to feel a little more optimistic when we start. Boy, you should see my wife when the tulips and the daffodils start popping in the driveway. Boy, she gets so excited.
And, I think she's excited right now that you just said you should look at my wife.
Yeah, just think about it.
She's waving through the window. You know, of course you can't see, but maybe online with the video you'll see the red arm cruising around in the background.
She's prettier than the flowers, but anyway.
Now she's really smiling.
The flowers bring us a lot of joy and, you know, start to just make you feel positive and excited about things. And as the sun starts to come in, we all start thinking about, you know, maybe we should start that project. And there's kind of certain things and certain ways to really get going on a project.
Okay, so first let's even just take a step back. General contractor, you're talking about somebody who's going to hire other contractors.
Well, the wonderful thing about a general contractor, I really like this kind of definition. The only people that need to take any kind of testing or actual licensing tests are plumbers and electricians. A general contractor, he needs no kind of competency test of any kind to get a general contractor license. So it is definitely buyer beware. They can go down, they have to register and get a current business license. They have to apply for a $12,000 bond and get an insurance policy.
A license and bond, it doesn't mean as much as somebody may think.
Not at all.
Okay. Not as much. It doesn't even break the water here. Yeah, huh?
Exactly. So that tells you absolutely nothing. If somebody says they're a licensed general contractor, it means absolutely nothing. So you really want to do your research. And just so you know, just people that do like windows and gardening and those kinds of things on your yard, they do not have to be licensed. But anybody that works on a house, even the people that are buying houses this day and age and fixing them up to flip them, anything that is being done on a house to improve it or take away from a house actually has to be a licensed general contractor, okay, which a lot of those people aren't. So, and I inspect those kinds of homes that are getting flipped all the time, and believe me, I can sure tell that they are the subgrade of licensed contractors.
They're the ones with the $12,000 bond, and that's it.
Well, and typically they don't even have that. They didn't even bother to get the business license, okay?
Do you think that there's a good way to choose? I mean, if you're going to look out for maybe the people you shouldn't, I mean, I guess, what should you be wary of?
Well, the first things I think you need to know is basically some of the basic laws and some of the things that you need to kind of be anticipating that can happen. Labor and Industries, with Washington State Department Labor of Industries, they have a great website. And everyone that is a licensed contractor should be registered with the Department of Labor and Industries. And if they're going to have employees on the site, they have to have workman's comp. Remember, if somebody gets hurt on your property, you're responsible for them.
That's a dumb law.
That is a really dumb law.
That is dumb. I mean, I hope somebody's listening and see. That is just dumb.
I agree. You know, there's no question about that. Okay. But that's why you want to make sure that you
have... put the system on trial, right, Jim?
There we go. All right, let's go down to Olympia. Let's Heather, pull the car up. Let's get the bus going.
Let's pick it in.
No question about it. Well, before you hire a contractor, one of the first things you need to do is plan your project. You need to plan it really thoroughly, okay? And so that's one of the biggest... problem areas I think most people get into is they just don't really plan it. They just go, well, you know what? We kind of want to do this, but they don't really plan it. So they can't define to a contractor what they want to have done. And so, therefore, you can't really get a firm bid on the project, okay? And we'd like to really get things in writing. Okay, nothing worse than having a contract with somebody that means absolutely nothing. If they're a non-licensed contractor, it means nothing. But if you have a contractor...
Sounds to me like even if they're licensed, it means nothing.
Well, it certainly can. No question about it. So you definitely want to be looking at referrals, okay, with people. You want to be doing a number of interviews, interview a number of different people. And you can go on the website nowadays. You can check them out. You can check them out with L&I. You can check them out. This is one of the best things, resources I think you can do in terms of a referral source is asking the contractor who their subcontractors are and who the people are, their suppliers are. And then call their suppliers, see if they're paying their bills on time. Okay? Because here's another big issue. If they don't pay their bill, that supplier can come and put a lien on your house.
Because you have the stuff.
So if you paid the contractor for it, you may end up having to pay the supplier and paying for all that stuff twice. Okay, so oftentimes what I like to do is actually pay the suppliers direct. Write a check to the contractor for his part in terms of labor, and then pay the supplier separately.
Right. I mean, right there is something, you know, I was talking earlier about just different ways of doing things. Right there is something that would seem so simple, such a simple change. If you're going to go get your house built, get a big remodel, add on, whatever it is, to actually pay those suppliers because you're not, it's a simple deal, right? This is not difficult.
Not brain science, but if you don't think about it.
Right, and then you actually protect yourself massively. I mean, what a small thing. And I would guess some contractors don't even want you to because they want to mark it up, and maybe they don't even want you to know what the margin is.
Well, there's that. No question, there's the markup there. And everybody, you know, everybody needs to make a profit.
Absolutely.
You know, we want everybody to make a reasonable living, but we just don't want to have our heads ripped off.
So, well, or a lien on your property because they didn't pay for the sink.
Yeah. No question about that. I mean, that would be so frustrating. And the supplier could come in and actually end up taking some of that stuff back.
Take everything and the kitchen sink,
and
right?
And the kitchen sink. Exactly.
Jim, go ahead.
You can also, if you have a big job as an example, you could also request that the contractor get a performance bond, okay? Basically buying an insurance policy that he's going to perform the work. And if it doesn't get done, then you're going to get the money from the insurance company, okay, to hire somebody to make sure that it gets done. So there's a lot of little things you can do to protect yourself.
It's probably not even that expensive. If it's a good contractor who has a track record with this insurance company, they expect him to finish.
Exactly. Yeah. Hiring a good contractor is no question where it's all about. So looking at their insurance policies, that's a great, great avenue. I mean, how many people do you bother to ask those kinds of things? And so if you...
Well, I don't know how well anybody would know what they're looking at as far as a contractor's insurance policy, just as much as the electrical box, but...
Well, I'll tell you, it's a scary world out there when you're hiring contractors, okay? I mean, I did a huge remodel on my house a few years ago and basically all the contracting myself, okay? And I actually was trying to do something really good for society. I was trying to bring a lot of guys in from a halfway house that had some issues and problems and stuff, and, you know, I knew how things were supposed to be done, and these were guys that were licensed masons and those kinds of things, electricians and stuff, but they got off the track with drugs or whatever, and now they're trying to work their way back in. And, boy, I'll tell you, some of the problems. I remember coming down my driveway, and my chimney was not straight. My new chimney that I had to raise 15 feet had a nice twist to it. So we had to tear it all the way down and put it back up. So that was pretty exciting, okay?
Someplace they call that design, Jim.
Yeah.
Straight chimneys.
Yeah, I don't know. It was pretty crazy. But I did hire this is a good example. I hired a window contractor. In fact, he was a friend of mine, but he'd been installing windows for years and years and years. I came home the first day that he was putting windows in and basically asked him to leave the property. Okay, he didn't know how to put windows in and make them waterproof. And we got into it pretty heavily. And I told him, I said, you know what? You just need to go to class and learn how to actually put windows in properly. But you're not putting my windows in. And so anyway, he left, and we were at odds for a while. And about 3 months later, he actually came back to me. So I actually, no problems with referring him now. He came back to me, and he says, I am so sorry. He says, I went to class. I found out all the things I've been doing wrong. He says, my God, I'm worried to death about all of the past windows that I've installed for years and years and years. But now he knows what he's doing. So a lot of the guys that have been in the industry and construction, they never went to class. They were taught by Bobby, by Charlie, and passed on down, and they learned the wrong way all the way along.
So, okay, here's an interesting question. You actually brought up monitoring this, and it's not easy. You understand if you're an inspector. You're supposed to know how to put windows in without them not leaking the rain out. Can you actually hire an inspector to manage your contractor, but to come in and go, yep, that looks good? I mean, is that something you can do to monitor, because you don't necessarily know how to monitor yourself?
Yeah, you certainly can. No question about it. And for somebody that's...
Is that common?
No, unfortunately, it's not. It should be. No question about it.
It would just seem like, you know, having your CPA look over your financial plan. Something along those lines, right? I mean, okay, let's get another opinion as opposed to just taking a...
Well, it's kind of like when people tell me, gosh, I can't afford $400 or $500 to do an inspection on the new $750,000 house I'm buying. Well, you probably shouldn't be buying that $750,000 house if you can't afford the right things to protect yourself.
Well, Jim, and you've been with me long enough, you know, my biggest pet peeve is people who won't buy a certain house because their $500 couch doesn't fit. So I get it.
Yeah, exactly.
Jim, we have a couple minutes left. Again, we're with Jim Estrada, owner and lead inspector from Property Inspector LLC. Once it's all done, I mean, once you've kind of finished the contract, the construction, where do you go from there? I mean, how do you make sure things are going to stay in good order?
Well, a couple things I wanted to just mention. First of all, before we kind of move on to that area, is building permits, okay? Make sure in your contract you spell out who's responsible for getting them. And you might call the county, and also the Department of Labor and Industries handles most of the electrical, and find out exactly what you need permits for. Permits don't cost a lot of money, okay? And it wouldn't actually be a bad idea, too, to actually go interview the inspector for the county and the electrical inspector and kind of make friends with them and stuff and explain some of your concerns if you don't know.
So you can push it through.
Well, not so much so you can push it through, because you want it to be done right. And so maybe...
And fast.
Maybe if your guy comes, if your inspector friend from the state or city comes out and will take just a little bit more care and be a little bit more thorough in terms of looking at all the things that, you know, he wouldn't normally look at, just to help you out a little bit.
Great. Well, Jim, we got to go to break. Thanks so much for joining us, and you'll be back, I imagine, next month.
So I will be.
See you then. Again, that is Jim Estrada, owner and lead inspector for Property Inspector LLC.